In the construction business and can't find what you need? Quality Supply and Tool has served Hoosiers for over a quarter of a century. Tom Hawk is the branch manager of the Indy location on South Harding Street.
We've always been big on keeping our shelves fully stocked of inventory of industrial-grade tools, concrete, masonry products, as well as the necessary accessories to help get the job done. You don't have it, you can't sell it. Our experience allows us to help with getting the pros as well as the weekend pro taken care of.
Quality Supply and Tool also has locations in Bloomington, Lafayette, and Jeffersonville to help you think outside the box store.
Only the best run here at the Indianapolis 500.
Mario, who do you feel you'll have to beat in this year's race?
People like A.J. Foyt and Bobby Unser, for instance.
Stand by for the checkered flag.
Absolutely incredible. Danny Sullivan spun in front of Mario Andretti.
A.J. has done it.
Beyond the Bricks with Jay Query and Mike Thompson on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Hi there, greetings and salutations. Good evening to you. You just heard Kurt Cavan giving you kind of the rundown for today at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on this, the 15th of May, if you're listening to this program live. If you're listening in podcast form, we greatly appreciate it. We ask that you humor us for just a second by letting me tell you that today, the fastest time of the day turned in by Scott McLaughlin, just over 229.5 miles an hour at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in preparation for the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500 that will take place 1 week from Sunday. Tentatively, of course, Mother Nature's thrown a curveball into everything, and that is why tomorrow things will get underway at 10 o'clock in the morning out at IMS in terms of practice that will run until 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Again, tentative, but the schedule and the forecast does look good for tomorrow. So 10 a.m. tomorrow, then Fast Friday, the extra boost. Will we see someone surpass the lap records? That remains to be seen, but it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility. This is Beyond the Bricks. Again, my name is Jake Query. We're inside the Bet365 Command Center, and Elijah Robertson is flying commands for us tonight. And Mike Thompson joins me now as he does putting together these fine programs each and every evening. Mike, good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Are you a longtime listener, first-time caller, or did you just finish off your dinner and getting ready for it? Because we've got upcoming, I think, some shows where we're going to talk about some fabulous eateries around town, right?
That's right. I did just finish up dinner, and so I'm a first time caller, long time listener, and ready for the show.
Well, we are excited to have you, Mike. And you know, it is actually very, I think, a special night for all of us. I'm going to begin by saying this: today is the 15th of May, and when I think of May 15th, I think of two men that I always want to kind of pay tribute towards on this day in May. And the reason why is simply because Paul Page is the one that has said, I've mentioned it several times on this show, and we have played the audio, that without the danger, the men are just ordinary. And that danger, the line of it, the risk that comes with running in the Indianapolis 500-mile race, is part of the mystique, the allure, and at the same time, the challenge for any driver that is in the ultimate pursuit to win the greatest race in the world. And that danger is present. And on this date in 1982, while trying to qualify for the Indianapolis 500-mile race, Gordon Smiley of Grapevine, Texas, who was essentially born and raised in Nebraska, if I'm not mistaken, but Gordon Smiley was fatally injured in turn three during a qualifying attempt. Then, of course, on this date in 1992, 10 years later, Jovi Marcelo, a native of the Philippines, whose wife had just left from visiting him at the Speedway and was pregnant with their first child. She was on her way back to their native Philippines when he was fatally injured in turn number one in a practice accident. Jovi Marcelo would never get the chance to try to attempt to qualify for the Indianapolis 500-mile race. But as I had mentioned before, I had the pleasure of meeting Jovi Marcelo's son and his wife Irene a couple of years ago when I was out at the Speedway in their first trip back to Indianapolis to see the track where Jovi Marcelo had attempted to run in the Indianapolis 500. And while I'm sure it was bittersweet and surreal, his wife was explaining to me that it was also special because they felt the connection to him and the place where he had such a passion for racing. So we begin tonight by simply paying a respect and a tribute to those two men. Now, when it comes to talking about men who have driven and women who have driven at the Indianapolis 500-mile race, there is nobody who has done it better than the subject that we are going to talk about tonight. Mike, I think it's a very special program for both of us because not only is it somebody who was an absolute trailblazer that blazed a path who no one will wear shoes large enough to fill as they walk through it, but nonetheless, there is no one that you and I would share as a common friend or, and I'll say friend, I mean, in your case, colleague, because you worked for him for years, than Donald Davidson, who is truly the definition of Hoosier legend and Jim. He defines everything that you would want out of loyalty. He defines everything you would want out of grace and knowledge when it comes to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and his enthusiasm and his knowledge for this event and that speedway have probably as much as any person walking Earth contributed towards the enthusiasm and the love for the speedway that so many have enjoyed. I think there are very few that you could say have been a greater contributor towards growing the fanaticism and the passion of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway more so than Donald Davidson.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, but I do have to make one small correction. Technically, I have to tell you, I didn't work for Donald. He technically worked for me, which was actually one of the worst things, potentially, believe it or not, in my life, because I didn't want to be, it was kind of thrust on me that you're going to be Donald's supervisor. And I was like, when they presented this to me, I said, well, wait a minute. I don't know that I want to do this because, you know, this is my hero. This is the person that, you know, one of the people I care about the most in the world. And I'm not sure I want to be his boss because I'm not really qualified to be his boss, first of all. And second of all, I have so much love for this person and personal loyalty to him that my personal loyalty will always be to him, period. And it was. And it, I'll be candid with you, it was to my detriment in the job because my personal loyalty was always to Donald first. And to this day, my personal loyalty is to Donald first because I love him like a father. I will just tell you that he's like a father to me. I've spoken to him a couple times today, and one of my greatest joys in life is when I get a call from Donald and I look down and I see his name and he'll call and he'll say, do you have a minute for me? And I always get a grin on my face and I go, do I have a minute for you? You know, and I think back honestly, and Jake, I think back honestly, and it honestly chokes me up when I think about it, because I think back to 12-year-old Mike, you know, hearing Donald Davidson for the first few times and wanting to be Donald Davidson. That was who I wanted to be in life. I knew I was never going to be Rick Mears. I was never going to have the talent of Rick Mears or Johnny Rutherford or any of these people. I don't have that kind of talent. And I knew I was never going to be, you know, Paul Page or, you know, to be honest with you, I was never going to be Mark James or Jake Query or anybody on the radio broadcast doing live play-by-play. I don't have you guys' ability. I just don't. What you guys do, I could never do. I wanted to be Donald Davidson.
We'll catch up with Mike in just a second here because that's absolutely correct. I mean, Donald Davidson is somebody that I think all of us growing up and listening to his incredible memory on the talk of Gasoline Alley is something that we all aspired to someday become. And it's interesting when people say, you know, who will be the next Donald Davidson? The answer to that question is no one. There is only one. There will only be one. And it was on this date, May the 15th, when Donald Davidson first came to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. As a matter of fact, he was a young man in England when he decided to come to Indianapolis on this anniversary celebration of Donald coming to Indianapolis in 1964. I'm 99% certain that I'm correct on the year there, 60 years ago today. And he tells the story, of course, of landing in Indianapolis, going to Union Station, and just assuming the track was right there, and someone saying, no, young man, you've got to go another 4 miles west of here. He did exactly that, and his dream of seeing the speedway was complete, but also just starting. But what would cause a young man from England to have such an incredible passion for a racetrack all the way across the Atlantic Ocean? What would create the image in his mind of a vision of a track that he so desperately then wanted to see, and to be able to see firsthand and foremost the exact location where so many of those incredible statistics and memories that he had read about and known, he wanted to see where they took place. But how did that passion begin? Of course, Donald was known on this radio station for doing the show, The Talk of Gasoline Alley. And that is one of the exact questions that he answered. Donald Davidson, in his own words, on how he got interested in the sport of racing.
I sent away for Dunlop, had a thing, a little booklet that you could send away for, and I don't remember what you had to do to get it. I think just send your name and address, and they would send you this thing that was little more than a pamphlet, and it had probably 8 or 10 of the world's leading racing circuits. And they weren't all Grand Prix circuits, because Le Mans was in there, and that's a sports car track. And it had a fairly straightforward outline of the track, and with a couple of the corners, few of the corners were named, but not all of them. And then on the opposite page, there would be an anecdote about the track. And then one of them was Indianapolis. And I was fascinated by the fact that, you know, the road courses, of course, have got lots of twists and turns, and Monaco and the Nürburgring with 176 turns. And then there's this rectangular shaped oval. And so it's probably one of those two. And then I asked my dad about it, and he knew what Indianapolis was, but most people didn't at that time. So I thought you were going to ask the first memories of the broadcast, and that would be that I tried to find it in 1958. By that time, I knew that there was a radio broadcast, and I knew that it was picked up by the American Forces Network in Germany. And I tried to find it in 58 with no success, tried to find it in 59 with no success. And then in 1960, I managed to hear a bit of a qualifying show with Sid Collins and Fred Agabasian. And Fred was talking about Don Branson. The reception faded in and out and faded in and out. And I thought, well, now I know where to find this. But you didn't press buttons. I mean, you had to tune. And so I struggled. I was all set way in advance to try and hear the 1960 race. And I struggled for hours and hours and hours. And then as it was getting dark, and, you know, you've got, what, 5 hours or 6 hours at the time difference, when it was starting to get got into twilight, then I could pick up part of the 1960 broadcast. But it was fade in and out and fade in and out. Once I found out where the 500 was, then I could occasionally get little bits of baseball games, and their playout music for the 500 there was the Gillette, was it called Gillette Sports Parade?
Okay.
Yeah, and so I heard fading in and out the final, about the last maybe 20, 30 minutes of the 500, but it was very hard to hear any more than a sentence, but I did hear in the Victory Lane part. And I remember hearing Jim Rathman saying, "What happened to Ward?" And then somebody said, "Ran out of gas," which, of course, is not what happened. And then Watson was interviewed a little bit, but it was not clear at all. But that's the first time I was able to hear it.
And, Mike, it was, in fact, on this date, 60 years ago in 1964, when Donald would first come to Indianapolis. But I'm assuming in those days the JW Marriott was not the available accommodation, correct?
I don't think so, and I'm sorry, my Wi-Fi apparently cut out in the middle of my tribute to Donald, which naturally, of course, Donald always jokes with me about technology, and of course, appropriately enough, technology fails me in the middle of my tribute to Donald, but yeah, I don't think the JW Marriott or any of those high-end accommodations were available to Donald then.
But what about the accommodations that Donald Davidson had when he came to Indianapolis and arrived 60 years ago today? Here's more from Donald.
I stayed with a family up in Eagledale. In those days, a lot of people stayed in private homes. A few people still do that, but not many. But then that was a huge thing. And when I first had my correspondence with the track with a lovely lady named Frances Durr, who was the director of ticket sales, and I struck up a lovely friendship with her before I ever came here, and she was like my aunt. She was terrific. Anyway, one of my questions was, where can one stay? And so she said, contact the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and they'll line you up with a family. And I'll never, you know, some of these things are carved in granite. A lady named Grace T. Schulmeier, who I never met, had the correspondence and sent me the information that you go and stay with his family, you know, the Duncans at 4031 Redbird Drive. Oh. And you would know that area, and so you may get a kick out of the fact that I wasn't driving. I didn't know the lay of the land. And when people would drive me home, they said, well, that's easy. All we need to know is the street and the number, and we can find it. Well, not Redbird Drive, because it's not a through street. So I had people driving around all over the neighborhood trying to find the place, and I always had to have somebody drive me home. And actually, twice in 64, Tony Holman, this long story, but bottom line, Tony Holman actually drove me home twice in 1964 in May.
That audio, by the way, complete with an electrocardiogram, but Donald Davidson talking about his accommodations in 1964. I can only imagine, Mike, what it must have been like for a young Brit, a teenager, to come over, and just the overall desire, the motivation for someone so young to have to come and want to see before his very eyes what exactly it was that he had the passion for. That alone speaks about clearly the true appreciation that Donald Davidson has for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Oh, no question. I mean, you have to think of all the work he put into saving up to come. And then obviously there's the logistics. I mean, the logistics in that era are obviously much different than the logistics are now to get here. So completely different situation, and all the work that was put in and all the logistical hoops he went through just to get there for the first time.
So Donald Davidson, again, on this anniversary, in his own words, talking about exactly that, seeing the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and whether or not it lived up to his wildest dreams of what he'd imagined.
Oh, way beyond, because I'd seen the films and read the books and, you know, the Floyd Clymer books and everything. So just everything, it was surreal to be here. But the thing, and I can't stress this enough, I was absolutely astonished at how friendly the people were. And this, it sounds like, you know, the Chamber of Commerce talking here, but I was astonished. I never expected the drivers to be, and the car owners to be such open, and the chief mechanics. And a few of them were a little reserved, but I thought they would all be. And to immediately be taken into the inner circle and first name basis and within, you know, minutes of arriving, within an hour or so of arriving, I was being invited into garages. And the day after I got there was the first qualifying day. And it just seemed like I met everybody.
Technically speaking, Donald would have been invited into the inner oval, I guess, but he has never left. Donald Davidson has become as much a part of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, of course, as the bricks, the flags, the milk, any of it. Donald Davidson is an integral part not only of the Speedway, not only of its history and sharing its history, but responsible for the fandom that so many have enjoyed in learning about the Speedway via his words. And via his words tonight, we celebrate and continue to learn about Donald Davidson as we continue on Beyond the Bricks.
Life can be pretty busy, but when you become a Kroger Boost member, it's like getting a savings superpower. With unlimited free delivery, you'll save time and money, up to $650 to be exact. You'll keep saving with exclusive member offers and 2x fuel points every time you shop. Sign up for a 30-day free trial of Boost from Kroger to unlock your savings superpower today. No cape required. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The weather's chilly and your allergies won't let up, right? Enter Aspire Allergy and Sinus. Aspire patients find lasting relief with no more winter spent suffering. Plus, Aspire Allergy offers same-day results, no more waiting. Skip endless drugstore visits. Save in the long run with Aspire Allergy's long-term solutions. No more empty promises, just the relief you truly deserve. Ready to conquer your allergies? Visit AspireAllergy.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AspireAllergy.com.
This is Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
This is Donald Davidson for the new KitchenAid Energy Saver 4 dishwasher. I want to invite you to come over to Wheels Furniture and Appliances at 5320 West Washington. I'll be there after qualifications from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock on Saturday night, May 10th. Come in and I'll try and answer any questions you have about the 500. And the people at Wheels will be there to answer any questions you have about the KitchenAid Energy Saver 4 dishwashers. They'll tell you how you can turn down your hot water heater and save 10% or more on your total cost of heating water. And now's the time to buy because they're offering special trade-in allowances. Come over and see us Saturday evening, May 10th, to Wheels Furniture and Appliances, 5320 West Washington. I'll be there from 7 to 8.
Be sure to visit Wheels in Indianapolis. That's Wills Furniture and Appliances at 5320 West Washington Street.
If you had not figured out, by the way, from the date on that, that is an older commercial. Donald will not be at Wills Appliance this Saturday after qualifications. But he is still a friend to the Speedway, a friend to Mike and myself, and a friend to all who listened to him on the Talk of Gasoline Alley over the years. Inside the Bet 365 Command Center, this is Beyond the Bricks tonight, talking about the historian emeritus of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Donald Davidson, the crown jewel, if you will, of IMS. And Mike, the reality is this: Donald has been a great mentor, not just to the two of us, but to probably hundreds of people. Always a helpful individual that is willing to lend an ear when people would call with a question about the history of the Speedway, whether they were working on a school project. Elijah is proof of that, who was working on a paper at Franklin College and was able to talk to Donald and get questions answered and have discussion. He has always been able and willing in all of those regards, but a friend and a mentor to so many. But the reality is, Mike, that Donald himself would credit those who also helped him along the way.
Yeah, one of the things that I love about what Donald has achieved is that he's always given so much credit to all the people who helped him along the way. You know, Miss Frances Durr and Henry Banks and all these different people that were mentors and helped him each step of the way. And he's so good at giving credit to those people. And that's one of the things I love about Donald is he's always, you know, gives back. And not only has he been a mentor to us, but you know, he gives so much praise to the people who were mentors to him, and it's so inspirational. And I picked up so much in my life from learning from him because of that.
Donald Davidson wrote a letter to Sid Collins when Sid Collins was, of course, the chief announcer for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network back in those days. Essentially, attention, Sid Collins, Speedway Indiana, would get the letter to him. The letter made its way from England to Sid Collins, and eventually Donald Davidson would meet Sid Collins. Again, that all happened in 1964. Donald Davidson on the help provided by Sid.
He was extremely good to me. And very quickly on, in fact, on Sunday afternoon, I was interviewed over the PA with Jim Phillippe, and people still talk to me about that. And so I started having conversations with Sid about maybe being on the broadcast. And in those days, especially during race week, in like a couple of weeks leading up to the race and certainly race week, there were all kinds of functions. And Sid was the MC at everything, it seemed like. And he would always introduce me. And that was strictly on him. He just would introduce me as a visitor from England, and sometimes I would go and participate in the program. And so we had some discussion about me actually being on the broadcast in 64, doing what I had originally fantasized.
In 1964, the United States and the Indianapolis 500 both were in the middle of the British invasion, of course. You had the musical aspect of it. It was in that year, of course, when the Beatles would come to Indianapolis, stay at the Brickyard Crossing Speedway Motel. It was when they would then perform at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. We've talked about that. And, of course, Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing yesterday during the rain delay reenacted some of the photos of the Beatles at the golf course. But not only was it taking place from a musical standpoint, as I'd mentioned, but from racing as well. Scotland's Jim Clark and Team Lotus would be here. And there were those that assumed that Donald Davidson was simply here as what we call a one-off, as part of the British invasion, to see the racing aspect of it. Donald, on who he had come to see in 1964.
I don't know how many people said to me, oh, you from England, and so you've come over to see Jimmy Clark. No, I came over to see Foyt and Parnelli Jones and Roger Ward and Jim Rathman, who wasn't running anymore. Troy Ruttman, those are who I came to see.
Mike, the reality is that 1964 year was one that is forever remembered for a number of reasons, but one of them, of course, the tragic incident that happened in that particular race with the loss of Dave McDonald and Eddie Sachs. And that was one of those races that if you're coming for your first time, there are many, Mike, in reality, that was the final race they came to because of the images that happened before them and that second lap crash that took the life of those two men. But for Donald Davidson, who doesn't typically talk about tragedy at the Speedway, Mike, that is one incident that you and Donald had talked about, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And he gave me a very poignant answer about the fact that he was there for that accident, and he thought maybe it was going to be the first and last time he'd get a chance to come to the Indianapolis 500. And it was a very, very telling answer he gave me as part of the Heroes of the 500 series.
Donald Davidson on the Indianapolis 500 after the Eddie Sachs accident.
And I knew already that there had been a senator a few years before that tried to get a bill put through that would basically abolish automobile racing and all the problems after the Le Mans accident in 55 and the Vukovich accident and all of this that AAA got out of racing. And now I'm thinking this could happen again. And I'm thinking Time magazine and all of the newspapers, the headlines are going to be, enough of this, put a stop to it. And I thought, isn't that ironic that I spent all these years, 7 years, which at my age was a good part of my life, and I've come here, I've had the dream, I met all the people, and now it could be over. And I thought about that all as I walked down to the accident scene.
1964, the year that we're talking about. Of course, that is the year that Sid Collins, many remember, did his eulogy of Eddie Sachs when it was announced that Eddie Sachs and Dave McDonald had been fatally injured, of course. And with Eddie Sachs, that particular eulogy is one that Sid Collins, for many, many years, that was talked about. But the other thing that happened in that 1964 broadcast is that Sid Collins would fulfill a promise that he had made to a young Donald Davidson about putting him on the radio network. It was 60 years ago. There have been countless broadcasts since that Donald Davidson has been a part of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway radio network. No individual has had their voice on more race broadcasts of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway radio network at the Indianapolis 500 than Donald Davidson. This is 60 years ago, the very first appearance of the man that would become the historian of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Donald Davidson's first appearance on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway radio network.
Thanks, Fred. Alongside me is Donald Davidson. Donald dropped us a line last year after the 500 broadcast. He lives in London, England. He's a projectionist in a cinema there, he said, and was a race statistician and would like to join our broadcast crew. Well, we answered his letter, and he asked for a picture, and we sent that along. Donald, I don't know why in the world you wanted that, but we sent one to you. Then he wrote me back, and we corresponded, and he finally decided he would come over here and take his 7 years' life savings, he's age 21 now, and be here and watch the Indianapolis activity for the first time. And when he got here, everyone, and I mean from Tony Holman on down and around, has been astounded by this young man's great wealth of knowledge on the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Don, I can't ask you the question such as how are you enjoying it, because naturally with the death of two of the participants, it could not have been pleasurable for you. But being here at Indianapolis, I know, has been, just being in town.
Well, it's been marvelous the way I've been received. I didn't expect this at all. When I arrived here, I was quite prepared to speak to maybe two mechanics and a driver, and I would have been happy. But everyone has been just marvelous. I've really had a wonderful time.
And we invite you to be on this broadcast, because we are heard through Armed Forces Radio Service in London. That's where you have been listening to us over these years.
That's right.
Well, now I want to give the people just a little idea of what you do. They'll have to take my word, and I'm sure our listeners trust me after all these years. Donald has no notes in front of him. We can name any race driver, and he has the knowledge of Indianapolis drivers from 1911 on, and here's the way he does it. Let's say a name, Fred Frame.
Fred Frame first came here in 1927. He drove a Miller Special. He was relieved by after only five laps. George Furnick took over, and he alternated with George Abel. The car finished in 11th place. Frame only drove the five laps, but he got back into the race as a relief driver on Frank Elliott's Junior 8 Front Drive Special, which was owned by Cliff Durant. It finished 10th. In 1928, he drove an SAI Special. He finished in 8th place with Ben Shove co-driving. 1929, he drove a Cooper Special. He finished in 10th with Johnny Seymour co-driving.
I don't have to be rude again, interrupt you, because the fans are going to say, get Davidson back to London, let's see what's going on. But I wanted to show him what you do. It's fantastic, and take my word, I kid you not, as Jack Parr says, this young man does this without any notes. He has studied in Indianapolis, and this is his first race in his life. I'm glad you came in to see us. Thanks, Don.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we'll see you at the Victory Dinner tomorrow night.
Okay.
All right? Very
sure
good.
Is.
Donald Davidson from London, England, and he's a fabulous guy, isn't he? Fred, you've talked to him out there in the garage.
Oh, he certainly is. And when you said he hasn't any notes, the only notes he has is inside of his head. And that boy is fantastic. He ran me off from the day I came here. And he's done it several times now, and without a hitch in it. It's fantastic. And we threw out a few old ones at him, too, you know, old boys that I don't remember. And he did an excellent job in reviewing their entire history.
Mike, what's fascinating about that, Donald Davidson in 1964 during the Indianapolis 500 broadcast, is that, and obviously not only would Sid Collins, Freddie Agabashian, and the rest of the world figure this out, but they had not even scratched the surface on the level of knowledge that Donald Davidson has.
That's right, and one of the parts of that clip I like is that Donald wasn't aware until much later that Fred, Freddie and Sid kept talking about him actually after he had finished his segment. He didn't know. He thought that they just went back and started talking about the race. And actually, many, many years later, someone played the full clip for him, and he found out that they actually had kept talking about him somewhat afterwards. So it was really kind of a neat thing for him to find out about later.
And I can assure you, which I guarantee you did not happen, there was anybody who, in fact, had said in that moment, send that boy back to England, I can assure you that would be the last time that was ever said about Donald Davidson. I have never met anybody who did not share two sentiments common about Donald. The first being that they were truly amazed by his remarkable recall and information, and the second, that they didn't walk away feeling like their day was better because they had just met one of the true gentlemen that they have ever come across in their lifetime. No question about it. When we come back, some very rare audio of Donald's first appearance as a full-fledged member of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network. When we return to be...
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
This is Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
1947, Donald.
Maury Rose, 116.338.
How's he do it?
How? The official Indy 500 Trivia Cup from McDonald's. Every winner in his average speed are right here. Get your 32-ounce cup filled with Coca-Cola at McDonald's for only 79 cents.
1969, Donald.
Mario Andretti, 156.867.
Maybe your name should be Mick Donald Davidson.
Why's that?
The Golden Arches, Donald Davidson, promoting the cup at McDonald's with Indianapolis 500 records on it back in 1986. Donald Davidson, the subject of Beyond the Bricks tonight from inside the Bet365 Command Center. My name is Jake Query. Mike Thompson joining me as well. And tomorrow, as a reminder, at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, practice will begin at 10 a.m. That is because it was a fractured practice session today due to Mother Nature, the same with yesterday when just under 24 minutes of green flag time before the rain fell. Today, things began at 3 o'clock. They went until 7, but there was interruption. So as a result, additional track time tomorrow, 10 until 6 at the world's greatest race course if you would like to see practice for the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Mike, a fun subject tonight and one dear to both of us, talking about Donald Davidson. And as you had mentioned, he got the opportunity. He made his opportunity by coming to Indianapolis, by making his introduction with Sid Collins, impressing Sid Collins, making a cameo in the 1964 Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Indianapolis 500 Radio Network, Indianapolis 500 broadcast. But eventually he would work his way into becoming a full-time member of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, Mike.
Yeah, that's correct, and I was very fortunate to find his first appearance on the radio network as a full-fledged member, and I actually sent it to him today, and he got a big, you know, he was very tickled by it, so it kind of made my day. Like I was trying to say in the first segment before, for some reason my Wi-Fi decided to stop. That's just the best part of my day is when the phone rings and it's Donald calling, and I looked down after about 5 minutes after I sent it to him, and he was just thrilled by it. So it made my day as much as it made his.
Very cool. And this is how it sounded. It's the 1965 Indianapolis 500-mile race. Donald Davidson on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, but this time not as an introductory guest, but as a full-fledged member of the network.
Now, a new addition this year to our broadcast is Donald Davidson of London, England. He amazed us all last May with his knowledge of the 500, even though he had never been to America or seen the event. He was a brief guest in the program, and he's in the booth now to give us an analysis of the start of this race and any other pertinent comments he may have about the beginning of this 49th annual 500. Don?
Well, thank you very much, Sid. I must say it's a great thrill to be on this program. Well, what I've seen already is the last time that a car led into the first turn from second position was when Jim Rathman did this in 1956, and it hasn't happened since. The last time that a driver led the end of the first lap from second position was when Jim Herdebees, who was already retired, did it in 1963. Already, Bobby Unser and Al Unser, by completing the third lap, have completed their family distance. They've never been able to get past second lap. That's all about I have for the moment. I hope to come up with some more interesting information during the race.
Thank you, Don. We'll look forward to your additions as the day goes on.
Sid Collins, of course, the other voice that you hear on that clip. The reality is that Donald, in fact, would have more and did get opportunity to do it. It has continued over the course of the years, although now retired from the radio network, Donald's still making contributions in all areas. And Mike, the other thing that makes this story so great is not just that Donald would return on the radio network, but would create for himself a home, a life, and a number of different areas of employment in the field of racing in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he worked for USAC, he worked for Telex, and obviously he was the historian for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And he worked with so many people over the years, was, you know, such a mentor and such a, you know, valued, treasured coworker over the years to so many people. And there's, as you said, so many people who have stories of you know, their time working with him. So you know, so valuable to so many people.
And he worked with and accompanied on the broadcasts every chief announcer in IMS Radio Network history. He worked with Sid Collins, of course, you heard that. He worked with Paul Page, Lou Palmer, Bob Jenkins, Mike King, and Mark Janes. As for Mike King, in 2016, Mike Thompson, whose voice you hear on this program, interviewed Mike King and asked him about Donald Davidson.
I've always appreciated Donald. Donald is one of the most humble people that I've ever met. He's clearly one of the most knowledgeable people that I've ever met, and really amazing. There are so many people that think that he is referencing a computer or books or Google or whatever when it comes to the way he is able to recall names, dates, starting positions, finishing positions, owners, drivers, car numbers, car colors, you name it. And to watch him simply pluck these fast facts out of his head in just a split second is amazing.
It's beyond amazing. That is Mike King, who worked with Donald for a number of years, and he is correct. I mean, it's absolutely amazing, and there are no notes. There is no recall other than just in his mind. I guess the recall comes strictly from there. It is absolutely remarkable, and people have marveled about it for years. I think for so many people, when we talk about the Indianapolis 500, you talk about the nostalgia nature of it. There are so many traditions of the race, the way you pack your cooler, the path that you take, the people you sit near, the way that you watch or listen to the race, the newspaper clippings of the starting grid or of writing down your lap count as Howdy Bell would read them off. The one thing that has been consistent for probably the most people has been that of learning about, appreciating, and knowing the race courtesy of Donald Davidson. He's absolutely the definition of chasing your own dream, an inspiration for all when you realize that there's something that you want, and no matter how far away it might seem, if your mind tells you that you can be a part of it, that's exactly what is within your grasp. Donald Davidson on following your dreams and making them happen.
And I tell people, you know, follow your dreams, pursue it, and if it doesn't happen, something may come out of it. And for me, it just seemed like all the doors open. Now, I made the effort to come, and it wasn't a whim. I mean, I saved up for 7 years, but it just seemed like the thing to do. It wasn't an ordeal. It just seemed to happen very naturally in retrospect. And when I showed up, it was amazing how easily everything happened. So again, I had to make the effort to get here. It didn't seem like an effort, but then I was astonished at how friendly everybody was. I would say how easy it was, and I guess it was, because every time I met somebody, almost everybody that I met was really nice and encouraging, and so that's continued on, and it's been a thrill and a privilege to be part of it. And
Mike, when I was a youngster, I have mentioned before, I would oftentimes go to my grandparents' house that lived on the west side of Indianapolis, and like most of the ranch homes of that era, it had the intercom radio system in it. WIBC radio was a ubiquitous part of the soundtrack of my grandparents' house, and that's where I first heard the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network. And it was a goal of mine to end up on that network, which through nearly 100% luck and timing in my life, I've been able to do so. But for me, one of the real thrills of my career was throughout the different steps that I've taken in my career, my grandmother, notably Nana, who my late grandmother, I think for her, perhaps the biggest thrill that she saw was to be able to listen to me on a broadcast with Donald Davidson. She marveled at Donald's intellect and his ability to talk about the Indianapolis 500. And she is one of thousands that absolutely loved listening to him on the radio.
Oh, there's so much countless people. And that's one of the things I always told Donald, especially when I first got to know him, was I told him, I said, I don't think you realize how much joy you have brought to countless people around the world. The joy you bring to people, the joy they get from listening to podcasts of the Talk of Gasoline Alley. I mean, there's still people who text me or email me or send me direct messages on Twitter saying, you know, hey, I listen to the Talk of Gasoline Alley reruns on the websites and stuff like that, because they just want their fix of listening to Donald in May. So, love Donald, my hero, just so much of a special part of my life.
A special part of the lives for all of us, no question about it. And as Donald always says, thank you, Sid Collins. And we should say thank you to Sid Collins for bringing Donald Davidson to us and allowing us to witness the greatness over the last 60 years. Thanks so much for listening. Back at it tomorrow on Beyond the Bricks.
With Hardee's 2 for $5 mix and match breakfast, you get double the morning goodness for just $5. Choose a famous made-from-scratch buttermilk biscuit with sausage and egg, country fried steak, or smothered in gravy. Then choose another. Mix and match two made-from-scratch breakfast favorites. Just $5. Hardee's, goodness in the making. Order ahead on the Hardee's app. These items only, tax not included. Price and participation may vary.